Good evening. It's good to see everybody again. Before I get into the lesson, I want to say thank you. I had very many people came up and were very gracious to me and commented me on my lesson this morning. And as a person who gets up not every week to present a lesson, and even those who do present lessons on a weekly basis, we're our own worst critics. I never feel like I ever do an adequate job. I never feel like that I'm getting my message across according to the scriptures. And it's always humbling when there are very good comments made. And I just want to let you know, thank you. I do not take it lightly. I am left speechless with the comments, and I do appreciate it. And I think others who preach or teach feel the same way. So I want to say thank you. When you want to stop and think about all the thousands of names that we talk about in the scriptures, and rightly so, just like this morning in Mike's class, in which he did an excellent job, where he took the comparison of Abraham and Jonah, and as he said in his lesson, most of us probably knew where he was going with these comparisons. But they're good lessons, and they have great meaning for us and great understanding. But also, there are little lights in the scriptures of men that are only mentioned a few times. And you think about the one that most probably commonly comes to mind, and it's just a very passing statement about Methuselah. And we know by the age of Methuselah that he was the oldest man to live in the scriptures. We don't know much else about him other than that. But here we have a person called Jabez, which to me is a very unique individual because of where he is mentioned. In 1 Chronicles, the first 9 chapters in 1 Chronicles, you have the chronology of the name of the men of the different households and the fathers and the sons that they begat and everything. And right here in the middle of all that in chapter 4, we have this gentleman mentioned here, Jabez. And if you think about 1 Chronicles, probably the first 9 chapters is not something most of us read or study because of, one, the difficulty of the names that are associated with it, and that how it can be very meticulous in how it goes through there. But here in chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, we see Jabez. And in verse 9 it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that the hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may be not to my sorrow. And God granted him that which he requested. To me, it is very interesting that in the middle of this, that the writer pauses by inspiration and talks about this individual. And it's only 2 verses, and that's all we have on him. But, and most of us probably have never caught that or saw that or understood what this, the significance of what is being said here about this man. And here that the author actually remembers him for 3 things. He remembers him that he was more honorable than his brothers. And the bulk of it is his prayer, which we'll talk about mainly about his prayer, and that how his prayer, God answered it. Now, as you can see, I have highlighted here the verse 9, and it says, Jabez was more honorable. So when we talk about honor, the word means high respect, great esteem, regard with great respect. But yet the name Jabez is almost in contradiction to what he is, a character that's being demonstrated here. The name Jabez actually means to grieve, to sorrow. And it comes from because of what his mother said there in the end of verse 9, because I bear him with sorrow. I don't think that she was sorry that she had the child. I think it has more inclination to do with she probably bore him in very much pain and very much suffering, And as we know names, a lot of times in the scriptures, I identified with a certain event of that person's life. And so I believe that's why his mother called him Jabez. But what we need to understand, that here he is talked about being more honorable, had great respect, had great esteem, higher than even his brothers. Now, when we think about someone with honor, we think of someone, especially in the Old Testament, someone that has set himself up as a great military leader, such as David. Or someone that has set himself up as a great king, as all the great faithful kings of Judah, as we can see. Or sometimes we say set him up as someone that is of great honor because he is a rich man and in a great state and has great resources. But I'm thinking from these passages, that's not what he's talking about because of the prayer of Jabez and how God answers his prayer. That he is a man that has a special relationship with God. That in this honor, that he has the ability to go and talk to the Lord and have this confidence. And so we see the prayer here. It says, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that my hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil. And thou, that is, that it may not be to my sorrow." There are four things that he asked in his prayer there. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Be with me. Keep me from evil. Some would be shocked. Some would be shocked to say, I messed up here. Okay. Let me go back. I'm sorry. I do this sometimes. I lose my place. The name Jabez is actually mentioned one other time in the scriptures. To give you an understanding of the man being maybe of honor, is there was a city of Jabez, and it says in 1 Chronicles 2:55, and the families of the scribes dwelt at Jabez. It is believed by scholars that this city was a city of scholars, and that Jabez was actually named after Jabez, and that he might have actually been a lead scholar there at Jabez, and that this town is mentioned because of the study and the understanding of the Lord, and that there were many followers of his afterwards. And so then that brings us to the prayer of Jabez and the four things that he asked for in his prayer. And the first one being, bless me indeed. Some commentators have been actually shocked that Jabez would ask for something in his prayer. They are saying that he is asking for something that is of a selfish nature, that it is something that is more beneficial to him in a physical way, and that he is not an honorable person. But if you think about that, if you have verse 9 saying that he's an honorable person, but yet then in verse 10 you're saying that he is not an honorable person, then the two verses are not going to be able to be in harmony with one another. So I continue to you, when he asked this prayer that blessed me indeed, that it was not for selfish reasons. First of all, there are two types of blessings we can ask for. There are the physical blessings, and there are the spiritual blessings. And that with these spiritual blessings, there's a greater value. And I think these are the things that Jabez was asking for. And that we are not to be asking for God for, I think, physical blessings for what we want. And I don't believe that was what Jabez is doing because of, like I said, verse 9. But we have here in Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. And Matthew 6:8 says, "Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him." How great a statement that is there in Matthew. That even before we ask God, he knows exactly what we need. Which tells us he knows exactly who we are. He knows each one of us individually. And with that, he knows what we need before us. Not what we want, but what we need and the things that we should be asking for, as in Luke chapter 12:15, is that our focus on the things when we go to God and we ask for blessings from him, that they're not these type of blessings, things of the physical world. A lot of times, a lot of us want the material things, that we want what everybody else has. We want the cell phones, and we want the computers, and we want the possessing of a house, and we want the possessing of a car. And which in themselves, there's nothing wrong with that. But is the idea, is that what we're asking from for the Lord? What is the true great blessings? And it is not those things. There can be no denying that God understands exactly what we need, and it is not those things. So when we see Jabez asking for blessings from God, I do not believe that he's asking for these type of things, that he is asking for spiritual blessings. Because with the rest of the prayer, it would not be in harmony with. And it is the same with enlarging my territory, which we'll talk about in a minute. But a lot of times that when we ask the Lord for blessings, it depends on our heart. It depends on our attitude. In James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend on it in your pleasures." James 4:7 says, "So therefore submit to God, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." In other words, what he's telling, we need to be focusing on the spiritual things, asking for spiritual blessings for God, that we are allowing God to be in our lives, to dominate our lives. And Solomon is a great example of that. And a lot of times we remember Solomon because he fell away from the Lord. And he was this man of great wisdom, but yet, even with all his wisdom, he could not keep from walking away from the Lord. But at the beginning, you see this humility in Solomon. Where in 1 Kings 3:5 says that the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And I've always liked this response. "And now, O Jehovah my God," in verse 7, "thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give thy servant therefore an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may be discerned between good and evil, for who is able to judge this thy great people?" The Lord even told Solomon, you could have asked for physical blessings. You could have asked for wealth. You could have asked for a long life. But instead, this is what he asked for. He is asking for an understanding. And he approaches the Father when he asks with a humble spirit, a humble attitude, and says, "Would you bless me? Would you give me the wisdom to rule justly? To rule this nation that you have given to me, that my father had ruled before me?" And so that brings us to, in his prayer, he said, "Bless me indeed, but then enlarge my territory." The idea here is he's asking for the Lord to help him to increase. Helping him to increase his border, his territories, his barrier, his wall. And again, a lot of commentators will come back and say that, again, he's not being an honorable man, that he's asking again for more spiritual blessings, physical things, more wealth, more land, more power. But I say again, according to the prayer and all the entirety of its prayer, there is another possibility that he's asking for. And I believe that's the possibility. He is saying, increase my wisdom. Increase my understanding. Increase my responsibilities. Increase my influences. Increase my opportunities to serve you, O Lord. I believe he is even asking for more work. He's asking for more understanding. And you stop and think about it. How many of us in our prayers ask the Lord to expand my boundaries? How many of us ask us in our prayers to increase our responsibilities? And I think the reason behind that, and I'm just as guilty as a lot of people, is a lot of times we think my life is full. And we talked about the necessities of life and all the things that we have to deal with and the things that we come up and the difficulties of life and the things that we have to tend to. But do we stop and say, help me, Lord, enlarge my ability to serve thee. Help me, Lord, to enlarge my understanding of your word that I can teach others. Help me, O Lord, that I can stretch out and see exactly what I can do in serving you. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he expresses this idea to the Corinthians. He says in chapter 8, verse 1, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God, which has been given to the churches of Macedonia. How that in much proof of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For according to their power I bear witness, yea, and beyond their power, they gave of their own accord, beseeching us with much entreaty in regard of this grace and the fellowship in the ministering to the saints. And this, not as we had hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God. What he's telling the Corinthians, look at these people, they should be a great example to you, that these churches in Macedonia, they gave of their ability, but yet they went beyond that. More than what Paul was expecting, more than what he required of them, they went beyond, they increased the borders of their ability to serve Paul. To make sure that Paul could spread the gospel, gave him the means and the tools to do so. So the question is, are we asking God that? Are we asking God to help us expand our borders, expand our territories in teaching, in our working, in our righteous living? And asking him, help us use the abilities that you have given us to serve thee, O God. The third thing he asked, be with me. To me, that's one of the greatest things that we can ask for. That idea of being with me, being constantly with me, walk beside me, guide my life. Be it in good times, be it in bad times, that you are there beside me, helping me through these times. Paul understood this. He wrote to Timothy in chapter 4 in the second letter, verse 16, at my first offense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. It has been understood that what he is writing about is that Paul is referring to what took place in Acts chapter 23 through 25. Where he had to face the Sanhedrin, he had to face Felix, and he had to face Festus, and then he had his appeal unto Caesar. And there is even much discussion that it might have been actually during the time and where he was having to go before Nero. But what is really important, what we really need to understand, regardless of when the time was, it was a time when there was nobody there. There was nobody there as a Christian to encourage him, to strengthen him. But yet, he says, I was not alone. Think about that. Even though there was not somebody physically there, he was not alone. That the Lord stood by him and it strengthened him. Hebrews 13:5 says, the Lord's promise to those who are his, I will never leave thee nor forsake me. And think about Paul, that Paul being the person he was, and he was strengthened in the Word of God, he was strengthened in the work that he was doing, he didn't feel alone, that he boldly continued to preach the gospel, as far as I know, until the day he perished from the face of this earth. In his letter to the Philippians, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In our songbook, we have that song, Be With Me, Lord. Stop and think about the verses in that, some of the verses in that song. Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean upon. The idea of what he is asking, be with me, Lord, that through good times you will be there. Be with me, Lord, that during difficult times, be with me, Lord. That through any the time of life that we are facing, that we can make it through life, be it in good times or difficult times. And even if we feel alone, that there aren't others out there that we don't believe are encouraging us, the Lord is there in his word to strengthen us, to encourage us, to depend upon him. We can overcome everything with the Lord on our side. The fourth thing, he says, keep me from evil. I think that's one of the greatest things that we need to ask for. What happens when life is going good? We become complacent. And what does that give opportunity for? The devil and temptation. And one of the greatest tragedies about mankind is we do not learn our lessons. Israel is a perfect example of that, that throughout the history of Israel, when times were good and the Lord had brought them out of difficult times and they had prayed to the Lord to send them a deliverer, and they responded to the Lord and became faithful unto him, what happened when the good times came? They forgot. They forgot, and I don't believe they prayed that the Lord would keep evil away from them, that they would not pray for to keep temptation away from them. It's not any different today. Man does not learn from history. We try to revise it and make whatever our situation is, make ourselves feel better about it. In Proverbs, the author here says, two things I request of you. Deny them not before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is Jehovah? Or lest I be poor and steal and use profanely the name of my God. Think about what he's saying here. I do not want riches. I do not want poverty, because with riches I will forget you, Lord. With poverty I will accuse you, O Lord. All I want is what I need to survive. He is stating, I do not want to be tempted. I do not want to turn away from the Lord. In Matthew 16:13, it says, "Bring us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." There is no doubt, there is no uncertainty in our minds that we should have in our minds. The Lord, the devil is going to push us. He's going to yank at us. He's going to try to get us to fall into evil temptations, in that he's going to try to confuse us. He's going to try to get us to question what we stand for, what we believe in. He's going to try to question us, our decisions that we make in this world. And what we need to be doing is saying, "Please, Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from temptation." And we have great examples in the Scriptures that did exactly that. That they never gave in to temptation. At times they did. But to me, Noah is one of the greatest examples of that. That he lived in a world full of evil and sin, and the Lord was ready to destroy the world, and there was one man, one out of millions of people, that was found righteous before God. He did not allow these people and the devil behind them to dissuade him, to pull on him. He did not allow them to be driven from what he knew what was right. And because of that, him and his family were the 8 souls that were saved. We need to turn to the Lord, just as Jabez, and ask, "Keep me from evil." And the reason I say this, that this prayer had all the spiritual things in it and not the physical things, is because of the end of verse 10. "And God granted him that which he requested." It should not be a surprise when we read that part of that verse that we know and understand what type of honorable person he was. We should not be surprised on what type of prayer that he is asking of God. Because God heard him. And God gave him everything that he asked for. Evidently, what he prayed for pleased the Lord. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, are we asking him for us to be pleasing unto him? Are we going to him asking him to bless us with spiritual blessings? Are we asking him to help broaden our horizons? Are we asking him that keep us from evil? Are we asking him to be with us in everything that we face, good or bad? The lesson is yours. If you understand that we cannot make it in this world without our Lord, that there are things that we cannot do on our own, that we need his strength, that we need his encouragement, we need him by our side. The only way to do that is to be right in the sight of the Lord, to follow his ways, to follow his commandments. If you have not responded to the call of the gospel, we are ready to assist you, as there is water here. If you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, so that you might become into that special relationship with God. And if you have done that, but for some reason you have strayed away, it is not too late. You can come back. If we can assist you as we stand and as we sing.